This is Inside MSide, your favorite podcast for all things Morningside. Hear stories from students, alumni, faculty, and more about what makes the Morningside experience so special.
Well, hello, friends. Thank you for joining us on this edition of Inside MSide. I'm Albert Mosley, the 13th president of Morningside University, and I'm your guest host for the podcast today, featuring Morningside University alum and board member Dr. Corey Roberts. Thank you for joining us, Dr. Roberts. It's great to have you on.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yep. So Corey, I'm gonna start with just a couple of questions to allow our listeners an opportunity to get to know you. And so, just sort of the vague general questions of who you are, where you're from, and anything else you'd like to share with us about your journey as Dr. Corey Roberts.
Sure. Well, I'm a guy from Nebraska. I grew up in a town called Grand Island and lived there my whole life. Found my way to Morningside undergrad a long time ago now, in the late 80s. And I did that because my uncle, many years before me, went to Morningside and played football at Morningside. And so I'd heard of it wanted to go to medical school, and they had an incredible placement rate at the time. I believe the statistic was, for the past 5 years, 100% placement. So Wow. That's how I ended up really being swayed. I went there, applied for a scholarship. I don't even know if they have this scholarship anymore, but it was called the Distinguished Scholar Award. And so it paid my full tuition, and I really liked what I saw at Morningside. So I ended up there and ended up then ultimately going to medical school and becoming a pathologist and entered this career. And now I'm sort of on the business side of medicine. So full circle, if you will.
Wow. Quite a journey from Grand Island, Nebraska. So I have to ask you, was there anything grand about Grand Island, Nebraska?
Grand Island's, number one, not an island.
Okay.
Not probably grand. The third largest city in the state of Nebraska at the time, about 40,000 people. But the joke was always third largest city, except on game days when Memorial Stadium was bigger than my hometown. So it's a pretty good sized city for Nebraska, but relatively small town.
Wow. Well, Corey, we have quite a number of students who come from our neighboring state, Nebraska. And so I know those who are natives to Nebraska will be especially interested in sort of hearing your story and hearing where you're from. So you mentioned you went to medical school, so you're a physician, but you're also an entrepreneur and a researcher who is now president of and CEO for ProPath, which is, the largest nationwide, fully physician-operated pathology practice in the United States. So share with us, Corey, a little bit about your business and what your day-to-day looks like as a physician, a pathologist, and a CEO.
Yeah, nothing I ever intended to do. I just wanted to be a doctor, as I said. And by the way, no doctors in my family or anything like that. It just something that was always in me as a kid. And so I came down to Dallas, where ProPath is, after a little academic career in Omaha at the university. And so I've done everything that a pathologist does. I've sat in hospitals and done frozen sections in the ORs and everything, but ultimately transitioned over time onto more the leadership and administrative side, became the CEO and became president and chairman in 2011, and then the CEO in 2017. And then subsequently, just most recently in December of this past year of 2021, we joined Sonic Healthcare. And so, I'm the president of their, what's called their anatomic pathology division, which is about 350 or so doctors around the country and about 33 practices, one of which is ProPath, in Dallas. So I still serve as the CEO of ProPath and then the president of the division. So all that to say that my daily life now is transitioned from looking at slides and reading biopsies, which is what I did, to, as I like to say, pushing paper instead of pushing glass nowadays. Lots of meetings, lots of travel. I go around to all of our practices around the country and try to help improve their processes and speak to them and help grow the business and strategize around growing the business in a very competitive and challenging medical environment for sure.
Yeah, so that's a very interesting and fascinating journey, Corey, from medical school to becoming a physician, to becoming a pathologist, and ultimately an entrepreneur and president and CEO. So along the way, what are some of the traits that you think that you possess that really helped you to be the success story that you are today?
Interesting. I think one thing that's really important, Albert, I don't take myself all that seriously, and I certainly don't suffer from overconfidence. I can tell you, I walk into the room and this has always been the case, and this can be debilitating too, but I think in the right amounts, it's very helpful. I always assumed I was the dumbest guy in the room. And yet I wasn't afraid to ask questions. So as I made that transition in particular, you know, I was a biology and chemistry guy in undergrad, and then I went to medical school. I didn't have any business training, any business classes. I learned almost everything from just asking questions. I'd be in rooms with smart people and sucked up my pride and just asked the question that I knew that, and quite literally the Harvard MBAs on the call knew, but I didn't. And so I learned a lot by doing that. And I would encourage people to do that, to don't pretend, to never put on airs, to not assume you know something and don't ask. And so I think that really helped. I did ultimately a few years ago go get my MBA at night and on the weekends, which is great. And it was very helpful. But by that time I was knee deep in the actual practice of things. And I really would still say I learned the most just from asking questions and paying attention.
Well, you know, that takes an enormous amount of courage to do that. And I think that's something that, you know, I believe our students sort of hopefully naturally do themselves, is ask questions and really sort of try to expand their own understanding of things. But to your point, oftentimes as adults and professionals, especially when we walk into spaces where we are surrounded by people who, you know, we look at them and we assume, wow, this guy's brilliant. I'm definitely not going to speak up in this setting. But, you know, oftentimes we don't learn unless we ask the questions. And so I appreciate you sharing that and you sort of offering insight into your own growth journey from raising those questions in spaces where sometimes it may not have been the most comfortable thing to do, but we can see where it got you. So, hey, there's definitely something to it, you know?
There's hope.
Yeah. So, well, there's a lot of hope, right? And so for all of us. And so, Corey, I want to go back to the pathology piece for just a second and just hear a bit more about what interested you specifically in pathology. I mean, you know, there are all kinds of specializations you could have gone into in medicine. So what was there about pathology in particular that sort of drew your interest?
Sure. Well, at first, you know, I'll share with whoever's listening that the secret I know about President Mosley, and actually a pre-med guy himself, and was going to be a physician himself before making the turn. So, I think I'll tell you, I went into medicine and I dreamed I was going to be a surgeon. I was going to be a small town family practitioner and do everything. I had all sorts of ideas. Pathology was not one of them. Number one, I didn't even know it existed or what it was. What I found in medical school, the second year of medical school, a lot of it was taught by pathologists, and it was about pathology, about medicine and disease. I found that I really liked it. I was very interested in it. And when I did, we had an opportunity to take a small elective in our third year of medical school when you finally kind of get on the clinics and in the hospital wards. And I thought, I'm not going to get another exposure to pathology. I really liked that class, but let's see what they really do relative to what I was learning in class. And so I thought, I'm not going to go try to, you know, some people decide, well, I want to be an ortho or something. So I'm going to go do an ortho rotation and get my name in front of them and those things. So I really used it as an opportunity to see if I would like it. What I found that a couple of things that I found, one, I had a knack. You know, I didn't do anything to earn it. I just had a knack for being able to see things in a microscope. I found when I sat down and looked, they showed me things. I had the ability to kind of remember it and put it together. And then secondly, what I really, really enjoyed and why I ultimately decided I would go with pathology is I loved interacting with the other physicians that came down wanting to know the answer. And I loved the fact that that I had the answer. Maybe in radiology, they could say it's, you know, one of these three things. And a lot of doctors, whether the radiologists or not, fancy themselves as radiologists. They think they can read it. Very few people think they can read a slide. And I just love that interaction and solving the case and having the answer for the other doctors. So I enjoyed everything else I did in medical school. I enjoyed patients very much. My mom always said, why aren't you a real doctor? Why didn't you go to real medicine? But I loved that part. It wasn't that at all. Yeah. I very much enjoyed it, but I found that I liked talking to other physicians even more than I liked talking to patients.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and you know, to your point, so much of what happens in pathology really is sort of the groundwork of medicine itself, solving those puzzles, helping physicians to sort of piece together the backstory of what's manifesting physically. And so we need pathologists to be able to do that. I don't know that many pre-med students or even, well, certainly not many pre-med students know that pathology is actually an option for them. And to your point, most of our biology, chemistry, pre-med students here at Morningside probably start the journey with the hope that they'll be maybe, an internist or a family practice physician, or perhaps even some other sort of specialization like surgery or something, but probably never really ponder the possibility of being a pathologist. So hopefully those who get to hear this will hear your perspective on it, and will probably give it some look into it and give it a shot and see if it's something that might interest them as well. So Corey, in your particular field and especially there at ProPath and with Sonic Healthcare, I know that you guys probably have some specific areas of research that you might be focused on, but I wanted to just kind of hear what sort of most excites you about the research and work that happens in pathology in particular and probably more broadly in healthcare itself.
Yeah, a number of very interesting things going on, and pathology certainly lends itself to being involved in those types of cutting edge events. And I found that personally a lot of fun. So we're involved in everything from simple things like identifying a particular finding on a biopsy and noticing a pattern and ultimately tying it back to a medication. I can think of an example where that happened, where we wrote up a paper about that and became quite a common finding. In addition, and probably the thing that excites me the most in pathology in particular is the advent of digital pathology and artificial intelligence applied to that. Radiology now, they're no longer printing actual films like they used to and put it up against a light box. It's all on a computer screen. The same is happening in pathology and is going to continue to happen. The difference is we still have to make the glass slide that then gets scanned, and then it's an image on a computer monitor, whereas radiology, they could skip the film altogether and go directly to that digital image. So we're behind in that regard, but that's very much going to be the future, that people will be reading cases from their computer monitor and not in a microscope. And then adding artificial intelligence on top of that, where one could screen cases for certain findings, sort them based on probability of a diagnosis or urgency, and effectively add a second layer of quality review with the aid of AI. So that's happening. And that does happen, for instance, in pap smears now every day. Those are screened by an imager and sorted and then given back to the pathologist and with those data applied to it. So a lot of exciting things that are going to be very much a part of everyday life in 5 years or whatever that time frame ends up being.
Yeah, so lots of advancements it seems, and I'm particularly intrigued by the introduction of AI into this work, and I think when I and of course pathology has evolved and continues to evolve as you've indicated, but I'm just sort of intrigued by the notion of the use of artificial intelligence in actually potentially reading slides and. And as you said, sort of discovering whatever kind of patterns there may be and tissue samples and those types of things. So Corey, overall, kind of what's your perspective on the current state of healthcare in the United States, and how do you see things evolving? Do you have a take on that?
Yeah, it's a big challenge. There's just no question about it. So if you look at the population is aging, we're living longer. Advances in medicine are helping do that. There is a shortage of physicians, pathologists, and all sorts of subspecialists in medicine, and that's going to continue to grow. And then the payment system is really not sustainable. I was just at a conference just 2 weeks ago, and Alex Azar, the former secretary of HHS in the last administration, was speaking about Operation Warp Speed and the vaccine and things. And he talked about the Medicare funding, as did the lobbyist that was speaking. And Medicare funding is a huge challenge because cost of care, particularly in the US, is skyrocketing. And most of that and more of that is going to be made up of government programs, Medicare, Medicaid, TRICARE for our people that served in the service. Right. And that's not, we already know that healthcare is taking up a greater and greater portion of GDP and the budget. So I don't know where that all goes, because on the other side, as a recipient of those funds, whether it's commercial payers or Medicare, and they're tied, commercial payers look to Medicare for guidance, the reimbursements that we're seeing are going down, not up. And so the challenge with anybody in the business of medicine, be it a physician or an entrepreneur in medicine, is that unlike 7-Eleven, if it costs more for me to get the candy bars delivered, I simply raise the price and I try to do so in a manner that I still can sell them at the maximum amount. I have no such luxury in medicine. My reimbursements, my prices are set by outside parties. And as gas prices go up and it costs me more to bring specimens in, as inflation hits wage inflation and I have to pay people more, I'm still getting paid the same and I can't adjust my pricing at all. So it's a very challenging environment. I joke all the time, why did we go into this business? Because it doesn't make any sense. You don't set your prices and you're sort of a victim of the circumstances. But I think we'll have to, what that does, like in any situation, that does spur innovation and creativity, and we'll find a way, but we'll have to be more efficient and do it differently. And that's just the way it is. We can't hang on to the past.
Yeah. And I think for students who are pre-med and those who may be interested in a career in medicine, I mean, you've named a number of things that are challenges that we currently face, you know, an aging population, the shortage of physicians, rising costs, and you know, those are just the ones that you know, we can sort of see and we're grappling with now. And there are many more around the corner. You know, we didn't talk about price transparency and all those kinds of things that are out there. But you know, I think at the end of the day, for people who do find themselves entering into medicine, I would hope it would be out of a sense of calling and perhaps their own personal passion. To do something that they really enjoy. So whether, you know, that's serving people, helping to ensure that people are well and healthy and whole, and doing that, knowing that there are going to be all these other challenges associated with it. So Corey, connected to that, so we talked about sort of, you know, the current state of healthcare, some of the challenges, some of the opportunities associated with it. What brings you joy in the work that you do now? You know, what are the things that brings you joy? What, you know, I've heard someone say recently, you know, in addition to asking people what keeps them up at night, we should probably also start asking them what makes you get up in the morning, what makes you want to rise the next day. And that's the thing that we need to focus on. So what makes Corey Roberts hop out of the bed early in the morning, and what makes him excited about his day?
Yeah, no, even to your comments before that, I think that's critical. You find something that you're passionate about and go after it. And I think chasing anything else, a title, prestige, money, will leave you flat and empty, I promise you. So I certainly encourage everybody to do that. You know, I love the competition and the challenge. I love fighting the fight and trying to beat the odds. I don't like, as I say, maintenance mode very much. I like trying to build things. And I tell folks all the time that, you know, the real fun and the real thing that gets me going and gets me excited is not punching the clock or, you know, ticking the box. It's really being able to try and build something and look back with pride, whatever it is you're doing, and say, I was a part of building that, to be able to show it tangibly. And that could be improving people's lives. It could be bringing joy to other people. It could be building a business. But that's really, honestly, what gets me out of bed is I want to go out and I want to win. And I love that competition.
Yeah. You know, I think for so many people, they find it difficult to identify the thing that drives them and keeps them going. And you've been very kind of very direct about what those things are for you, and as I know for a lot of our students, as they're continuing to develop and to grow themselves, they're beginning to identify the things that really sort of excite them and make them get up and go each and every day. And it varies from personality to personality, but I think the point that you've made is that it's important for you to know what that is for you. You've got to know, you know, what is the thing that drives you, and sort of hone in on that so that you can become the success story that you desire to be in your life.
Yeah, I completely agree. And that, hopefully that's what, I mean, that college is a great time to do that, right? And the other thing I would tell them, and I'm sure you say the same thing, is you're so young. You have so much time ahead of you, and it may not play out like you want. I, as I say, wanted to be a doctor since I was a little kid, and I had no intention of going to the business side at all. But I don't miss being a doctor, but I loved every minute of it. I love now what I'm doing. So it's not an either or, and things change. So I hope they do find their passion for sure.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, there was a time in my life when I kind of felt like the path was sort of a narrow and straight path. And the longer I've lived, the more I've discovered that it's really a very meandering path. And not only is it meandering, that it actually has detours also. And sometimes you get back on, sometimes you start a whole new path, you know?
Yep.
And so, Corey, you referenced the biology pre-med background of mine. I shared this with you in a previous conversation we had, and I'll share it now with what folks are listening. You know, I started out an undergrad with a degree in biology pre-med, got into med school, went to med school for first year, came home after that, announced to my folks, hey, guess what? I'm not going back, you know? And so and my people all thought they literally thought it lost my mind, you know, a kid from rural Mississippi, first generation college student, grew up in abject poverty. You know, you kind of you make your way out, you get into med school. Come on, that's everybody's dream. And then to say you're not going back. Well, it was because it wasn't what I wanted to do. And it took a lot of courage to make that decision. And it took even it took even more courage to tell my mom that, hey, I'm not going back to med school. I'm going to do something else in life.
Yeah.
But, you know, there comes a time in life when we really have to sort of really listen to our inner voice and hear what that path and what that direction is for each and every one of us. And it'll be different for different people. But, you know, Corey, the part I didn't tell you that time we were talking about this, the real reason I made that decision was I discovered I don't like blood. Okay. So, I don't like blood, and I'm kind of grossed out by stuff like that. And so, you know, it's kind of hard to be a physician if you don't like those things, you know?
Yeah. That's a hindrance. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a little bit, right? So tell us, what do you do? What do you enjoy when you're not at work? You're a physician, you're an executive. What do you do to unwind? What do you enjoy when you're not working?
You know, I have very simple tastes. My best friend is my wife, and probably the best day of my week every week is Saturday morning when, number one, there's no alarm. So I don't get up at 5 and I can wake up leisurely at 7 or whatever. And my wife and I will go get coffee together and sit there and talk. And often I have to do some work, but it's a completely different feeling. So I enjoy that a lot. I enjoy working out. That's what I do at 5 in the morning. So and my wife enjoys that as well. And then finally, I would say, I love Colorado. I love being outdoors, and particularly living in Texas, it's wonderful to get into the cooler weather of the summer there. And I like winter, having grown up in Nebraska. So I love the ski season as well, but I just love that scenery. So I'm a simple guy. That's my life. It may sound boring.
Yeah. Well, no, actually it doesn't. It sounds pretty good. You mentioned having the opportunity to sleep in on weekends and not sort of giving in to an alarm clock. One of the things I've discovered is that on days when I attempt to sleep in, because my body is so programmed, I get up every morning at about 5 also. I discover that I wake up anyway, and I get really angry at myself. I'm like, why are you awake at 5 a.m.? We don't have anything to do. Like, you should really be sleeping now. And sometimes it works. I'll fall back to sleep. Sometimes it doesn't. And so you've kind of answered my next question, which is really about sort of keeping balance and practicing self-care. You mentioned working out. You mentioned spending time with your wife and having those disciplined times of sort of leisure and less stress. Are there any other pointers that you would offer around maintaining proper balance in our lives and engaging in self-care?
I think it's critically important, and I say that not as somebody that's perfected it, and I think that's I think it's an ongoing pursuit. I've done a number of things that I've found helpful, and I think everybody needs to find what works for them. But those things are very important for me. Working out, for example, is a great time, and especially early in the morning. And I listen to my music. I actually listen usually to Christian music, and it's just a nice quiet time for me, even though I'm working out. And I like having a personal quiet time. I've done journaling. I've done gratitudes, where to finish the day, you know, writing just three things you're thankful for, people or events or whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. Those are very useful things. Now I don't do any of those things every single day, right. But I've used all those tools, and I know when I get overly stressed, and I know when I need to stop. And I think when one really has that imbalance, one doesn't get to that overstress and recognizes it earlier. So I'm still working on that. But those are some of the tools that I've found helpful, because life is stressful. Forget yeah. business or anything else. It's just stressful. Things don't go perfectly, not for me anyway. So it's really important yeah. to take care of oneself, particularly when you have other people depending on you. So it's not just absolutely. For yourself, it's others. So
absolutely. Yeah. You know, it's really hard to pour from an empty vessel, and so you know you've got to be really intentional about refilling your vessel on whatever sort of periodic basis that works for you. For some people it's daily, some people it's a little bit less frequent, but I find what works for me. You know, like you, I get up really early in the morning. I'm a runner. I always say, I don't know if anyone wants to see me doing that, because it looks like I'm falling when I'm running. So, my wife says all the time, she's like, you know, I'm not quite sure what you're doing, but if you call it running, then hey, good for you, you know. And I also, you know, I like to do I practice meditation and have certain readings I do on a daily basis, devotions that I engage in. But I think, you know, the point in what you're sharing and what I'm sharing also is that it's important to have those occasions in our lives when we do practice self-care, and we do carve out, you know, the times and spaces to ensure that we're okay for ourselves, but as you said, that we're also okay for those who are depending upon us, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I think that's really important to bear in mind in life. So Corey, what's something that you've recently watched or read that you find interesting or inspiring, something on television or something you've read that you find kind of interesting?
You know, I just finished a book called The Anatomy of Peace. And it's a very old book by this guy named Reeves that's a classic book, and it was written during World War II. My wife just makes fun of me about the books I read, so it's not light reading, but I found it just incredibly fascinating as he discussed the world situation that he was living in and mm-hmm. what it was going to take to prevent that in the future. And it was quite a cogent argument. Very, very interesting. So I found that good. And I'm reading now a book called Untapped Talent about the workforce shortage and the untapped talent that he's referring to is programs to get those people that are incarcerated to get them educated and skill sets to bring them into the workforce. And I've just barely started it, but he intentionally is going to make the business case for it and leave aside wow. moral and ethical and everything else and just make purely right. a business case. So I'm very much looking forward to reading that. So I like reading those things yeah. at night. It helps me as well. So
yeah. So, you know, when you mentioned the first book, The Anatomy of Peace, I thought to myself, I wondered if he thought that was going to be something about medicine with, you know, with anatomy in it. And so, and the Untapped Talent book, I mean, that sounds really interesting. I would be, I probably would be interested in reading that myself and just hearing the, you know, as you said, the business case for that. And not only the business case, but just, you know, what that could mean for people's lives, and what it could mean for employers who find themselves struggling to find people, especially in today's time. All right, so Corey, we're going to do something fun now as we kind of wind down here. When I was interviewed by students a couple of months ago. They did this sort of rapid fire questions to me, and so I figured since I endured it, you're going to have to endure it also.
All right. All right. Great.
So here we go. Favorite color.
Red.
Red. Okay, cool. All right. Burger or taco?
Burger.
All right. Burger. All right. All right. Don't let the folks in Texas hear that. Okay.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Favorite holiday?
Christmas.
All right. I think that's a favorite for a lot of us. That was also my favorite, Christmas. Although this year, my birthday happens to be on Thanksgiving Day, November 24th. Going to make it kind of hard to celebrate Thanksgiving and my birthday at the same time. So we'll see what happens.
Cake and turkey. All right, so, yeah.
Yep. So, yep. So in your house, laundry or dishes for you?
Dishes every night.
Okay. All right. I'm the same. I hate laundry. Unfortunately my wife hates doing dishes. And so it works out perfectly.
Perfect. Yeah.
All right. Favorite app on your phone?
ESPN. I'm lowbrow like that. I like checking the scores when I get up in the morning.
All right, cool. Since I'm still learning my way in Sioux City, I don't know if it's my favorite app, but the most used one is Waze, the direction app. Sioux City, unlike a lot of other cities, it's not laid out, you know, like a grid. You know, it's yeah. got a lot of weird turns and twists and street names change and all that sort of stuff. All right, snooze button, wake up immediately.
Immediately.
Oh man.
Never snooze. Yeah.
Okay. favorite food?
Or
favorite type of food.
Yeah. I would say steak still. I just love a good steak, so I can't get past it.
All right. Cool. So Corey, what's one irrational fear you have?
I am not great with heights. I can get pretty nervous when I get to the edge of a great height. So I don't love it.
Okay. All right. So I got a question for you about that. Does that apply in enclosed spaces for you?
No, it's really the near the edge kind of stuff. I don't have any, but if I'm near the edge, I can have these weird feelings like somehow for whatever reason I'm going to lose my balance or whatever off the edge. So it's completely irrational, but that's where I am.
Yeah, I have a similar fear. I hate heights, but if I'm in an enclosed space like an airplane or whatever, I can look down and it doesn't bother me at all.
Yes. So, yeah.
All right, last one of these rapid fire questions. Favorite pizza topping?
Pepperoni, extra.
Extra pepperonis. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh,
very good. And that comes, folks, from a physician. Okay.
That's right. It's good for you.
So Corey, you've given us all the license to eat pizzas with extra pepperoni on it. What about extra
Absolutely.
Cheese also? Can we add extra cheese?
Yeah, for sure.
As well?
Why not? Okay. Absolutely.
All right. Well, you know, thank you, Dr. Corey Roberts, for for your time and for being my guest today. This has been a joy engaging in this conversation with you. I know those who are going to listen to this and watch it are going to really, really enjoy the insight and the wisdom that they'll glean from your life story and the work that you currently do. For our Morningside alums and friends, we encourage you to please stay in touch with us, subscribe and share to help us keep telling the story of all the good things happening here at Morningside University. Dr. Corey Roberts is one of many examples of that, one of our great alums, a board member, and is doing great things out there in the world of medicine and pathology and in business. So thank you, Dr. Roberts, for being with us today.
Thanks, President Mosley. It's a pleasure.
Absolutely. All right, folks, we will see you next time on Inside Insight.